Welcome. Happy Easter to you all. And we should say, He is risen. And you say, He's risen indeed. That is the wonderful thing about Easter, that Jesus has broken the power of death. He's not dead anymore. The grave is empty. And we are here to celebrate that fact this morning. Okay, so I've brought my lovely big Easter eggs with me once again. The last time they graced this place, I think, was 3 years ago. So I don't know if you remember any. Anybody remember that? Any hands go up?
Yeah.
Oh, a couple of you. Yeah, well, do you want to come and do it for me? Okay, Eli's going to come and open our first egg here. This blue one I think we'll go with first. Take out what's inside. And what have we got? Do you know what's inside?
Book.
It's a book. Do you know what book it is?
No.
It's a Bible. What's a Bible doing in an Easter egg? Because it's Easter. Yeah. If only every Easter egg had a Bible in it, eh? Well, what does the Bible tell us about? Do you know?
God.
It tells us all about God, doesn't it? Yeah. God speaks to us with the Bible. He spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, sort of seemed to be like audibly. He seemed to tell them, and they went off and told God's message. But today it doesn't seem to happen quite like that. So we need the Bible to hear what God says to us. So thank you, Eli. And if you want to take your seat again, I'll ask somebody else to open the green wig. Well done, thank you. So I need a volunteer then. We've got the Bible. And what's inside the green egg? Anybody want to come and open it? That's right, well done. Well done, Eli. We're going to take the lid off. You've got a big spoon to crack the top of the egg. Hey, what's inside?
A stick.
Oh, a stick. It's a cross, isn't it? Hold it up so everybody can see it. Hold it this way up. Show everybody. It's a cross. Wow. What's a cross doing in an Easter egg? Anybody know what a cross is doing in an Easter egg? Why have we put a cross in Easter egg, perhaps, is a better question. Logan, I did see your lips move, but I couldn't hear anything. Represents the death of Jesus. Yeah, lots of people wear a cross around their neck on a golden chain, don't they? Or we see in Somerton, there's two crosses put up by the side of the road, but it's there to represent that Jesus died on a cross. Why did Jesus die on a cross? Anybody can tell me the answer to this one. Why did Jesus die on a cross?
Our sins.
He died for our sins, didn't he? Yeah. Do you know, we do wrong things, don't we? And in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the Bible tells us that you had to go to the priest and you had to confess your sin. And he would say, okay, we need to do a grain offering or some other type of offering to ask God to forgive us. And so the priest would do that for us. But Jesus has come to be the final sacrifice, to sort of wind up all that Old Testament laws and stuff. And he was going to be the perfect sacrifice to forgive us for all the things we've done wrong. And he was willing to die on that cross. And that's what we remember on Good Friday. So, we've got the cross. Do you want to just stand over here, Violet? Because we're going to have to open the yellow egg now. Who wants to open the yellow egg?
Me.
Oh, we got some more volunteers for this one. Sorry, I don't know your name, but do you want to come on up? What's your name?
Ariella.
Nice to see you here, Ariella. Where do you live?
Leamington.
You're a long way to come.
I know it is a chick.
Oh, you know. How do you know? Hang on a minute. Why do you think a chick's in an egg?
I hear it.
Because you can hear it. Yeah, but what's he doing in there? What's it got to do with Easter? Do you know what?
New life.
Yeah. What's new life with Easter? The connection?
Jesus rose
from the dead, didn't he? So take the lid off and just check it out and see what's inside. Pick up the whole egg and show Violet down here, and then maybe you can show other people as well.
There are two of them.
There's three of them, actually. Jesus didn't stay dead on Good Friday. Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus came alive once more. And he will give us that life as well when we believe in him. And so it's a wonderful picture when we see She'll have it scrambled later. Okay, yeah, put it back. So the chicks will be here later on, so you'll be all able to have a quick look. I'll just put the lid on so they go to sleep, hopefully. But yeah, we have new life in Jesus because God didn't let Jesus stay dead. He rose from the dead again. He rose from the dead so that he could not only be alive himself, but give us new life too. So we can share in his resurrection life that Jesus demonstrated so ably at the first Easter. Do you know, on YouTube this morning, I was watching the service from the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. And if you've ever been there, you'll see the tomb in there. And you can walk in and it's empty. There's no body of Jesus in the tomb because Jesus is alive. And that is so wonderful and so good to remember. 20 in verses 1 to 10. So could I have a volunteer, Arn? If you can see, move if you can't.
John 20, verses 1 to 10. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, "Jesus must rise from the dead." Then they went home.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay, so here we see that John, the writer, zooms in on Mary Magdalene. In the other Gospels, we read that there are other women with her, but John is just zooming in on Mary, so I don't see a problem there. But it's early in the morning this starts to happen. Now, there was no lie-in for these people. This morning, we all had to get up earlier, didn't we? Maybe. Some may have forgotten. Some could be yawning. But this was early in the morning. There was work to be done, and Mary Magdalene was one of those who was going to get this work done because they wanted to give Jesus' body the burial respect that it deserved. They didn't think about the problems. They didn't think about the lack of sleep, or they didn't think about the large stone needing to be rolled away, or the guards at the entrance of the tomb. They were just thinking of Jesus, what needed to be done, and so off they went. But the stone, when they got there, the stone is already rolled away, and the grave was empty. And Mary runs and finds Peter and John and tells them, the stone is gone, the grave is empty. And Peter and John, they come running to the tomb. And they say, "Yeah, it's empty." Now, if that happened between me and my wife, you know, she'd have said, "I told you that. It's empty. Why didn't you believe me?" So it's a bit of a man thing probably. We're going to see a bit of a man thing and a bit of a woman thing and these reactions to Jesus' resurrection. But they come and they run in. And they say, "Yes, the grave is empty." They go inside the grave and the grave clothes were folded up. They saw and they believed. Question though, what did they believe? What did those disciples believe? Now, this is a real question, so I want good answers from you guys. Or any answers would be better than no answers. So we're a good broad definition here we can have of what did they believe. Somebody tell me, what were they believing? They just come and they saw this empty tomb. What were the disciples, Peter and John, believing? We've got lots of answers to this.
The tomb was empty.
Yeah, it was actually empty, which was quite a surprising fact, wasn't it? Because Jesus had put him properly dead. Yeah. That the tomb was empty. Steve?
That he was God.
That he was God, yeah. That's a big one, isn't it? And Jesus, I guess before they got there, they believed he was the Messiah. He was sent from God, but he was also God himself. Yeah, he had the power over death, that meant. So that's pretty important. Other ones?
Jesus always told the truth, that he said he was on the rise in 3 days.
Yeah. They didn't understand what Jesus had said before, did they? They were confused. But they should have known that Jesus was telling the truth when he told them he was going to die and then he was going to be raised again. Jesus told the truth. Thank you. What else did they believe?
Yeah,
that could have ran through their head. But if we see the last verse 9 there, for until then they hadn't understood the scriptures that say Jesus must rise from the dead. But yeah, you know, that's why they didn't just believe Mary in the first place, wasn't it? They rushed in and dead men don't get up in folded neat grave clothes. Most live men probably don't neatly fold clothes either. But there they were. The clothes were folded up neatly there. So Jesus had risen from the dead. They believed that now. These two guys really believed it. He'd broken the power of death. And so if we confess our sin, he will forgive us of our sins, making us new creations, a divine exchange, our sin for his righteousness. Which reminds me of an old memory verse we got. Or should we just say this together? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. Okay, so our place is secure in heaven because Jesus has risen from the dead and we can trust him. And when we believe that he's done that for us, to forgive us our sins, our place is secured in heaven. Jesus died for us as individuals. Christians across the world are in the same situation. He's died for each one as an individual. And so we know that Satan's been defeated. We know that we're on the victory side. So we've kind of thought about what those two guys believe, Peter and John. Should we believe the same 2,000 years later? You know, it's a long time, 2,000 years. Following on, John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18.
Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken my Lord away," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go, find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message.
Thank you, Brian. Oh, Okay, so we read earlier, Peter and John had believed, and then they went on home. But Mary was by the tomb weeping. First, Jesus had been cruelly killed, and now it looked like somebody had stolen his body. What had just happened? But then she went into the tomb, and this time she saw two white-robed angels sat at the head and foot of where Jesus had been laid in the tomb. And one of the angels said, "Why are you crying?" It's kind of an obvious question, really, isn't it? You're at a tomb. You know, her dearly beloved friend was put in there the night before. And they said, "Why are you crying?" And but she replies, she says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And it's interesting that the other two disciples simply believed, they saw and they believed and they went on home. But Mary needed more. She wanted to stay and grieve with the body of the man who had changed her life. She wanted to make sure that her Lord's body was cleaned up after the torture that he had gone through, that it was treated with respect. She wanted to be near and to cry over her loss. And as she turned to go, she saw a man who she thought was a gardener. And she said, "Have you taken Jesus away?" The gardener, who was Jesus, just said her name. He said, "Mary." At once, Mary recognized this man to be Jesus. She knew his voice so well. Her world was turned upside down. In that moment, everything changed for her, from the depths of sorrow to ecstatic joy. Question for us: do we recognize the voice of Jesus? Do we allow Jesus to turn our lives upside down, as Mary's life was? These are important questions. Can we recognize when Jesus is speaking to us? Mary called Jesus teacher. Are we willing to be taught by Jesus? So I just want to take a bit of a diversion here, and let's just have a look at a little bit of what Jesus taught one day when the crowds and the disciples were gathered to hear him speak. We know it's a Sermon on the Mount simply because it took place on a mountain. So it's Matthew chapter 3 and verses 3 to 12. Yeah, I was thinking we'd done the readings, but can we have a reader? Who's a good reader? Who's a willing reader? Got any willing readers, Andrew?
Yeah.
Here we go. Go for it. Thanks, Steve.
What's up there now?
Yeah.
Just about, yeah. God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourns, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in the heaven. And remember the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, we didn't allow for the bunting when I thought about asking you to read the screen. So I don't really want to go into these. You know, good preachers would have a sermon on each one of these. But just see how it turns our worldly thinking upside down when we follow Jesus' teaching. And after Jesus had taught all these things, he went on and he taught about a multitude of other issues, such as anger, being salt and light. That is making a difference in this world. He spoke about lust, divorce, revenge, loving your enemies. He spoke about giving to the needy. He spoke about prayer and fasting, about money, worry, judging others. And he spoke about the way to heaven. Do you know, are those things useful to learn? I think they're right up there, what we all need to know. And Jesus has been teaching, and Mary recognized him as teacher. Do we recognize Jesus as his amazing teacher who can just turn our thinking upside down? Paul says in Romans 12, I think it is, let God transform the way you think. You know, we don't need to think like the world thinks. We need to think like God thinks. Jesus taught us these things. And I can't tell you how those things can happen. You know, those who mourn will be comforted. You know, I can't tell you the mechanics of how that will happen. But they're wonderful promises to hang on to, because life is not straightforward, as you're very well aware, I'm sure. And they're not pious ponderings either. They're practical skills that we all need every day of our lives, pretty much. And so we need to be always looking at Jesus' teachings and checking how they apply to our life. Our old memory verse is John 14, verse 6. Should we just say this together? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. So Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So that's why it's so important to listen to what Jesus says all the time. So back to our passage in John chapter 20, verse 18. We just see that this news was too good for Mary to keep to herself, and she rushed off to tell the other disciples. She was now believing that Jesus was alive, and very much so. And she rushed off to tell them. And, you know, there's a lesson for us there, isn't it? You know, how many people do we tell that Jesus is alive? Jesus is alive, because we remember that at Easter. Easter is all about new life. You know, the story, we can sort of, the story started a very long time ago, but we can, last week was Palm Sunday. And we remember there that Jesus coming into Jerusalem, being praised as he arrived. The people were waving palm branches and singing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were really excited because they saw the potential new king come into Jerusalem. They were going to clear out the Romans. This king was going to get rid of the Romans who were oppressed them. Jesus actually had a higher aim than that. He was going to defeat Satan in a week's time on the cross. You know, he wasn't meddling about with the Romans at the bottom of the pile. He was going to go for Satan at the top and sort him out. And so Easter is about how Jesus defeated Satan. But the Jewish leaders saw Jesus as a challenge to their status. And they revealed their roots of pride and envy. And these pride and envy turned into complete hatred. The Jewish leaders just wanted to kill Jesus. They looked at their calendar of events, and the Passover was coming very quickly, and they wanted to do it before all that. But they didn't want to riot, so they had to be careful. But they turned to hatred. So we need to be careful that we don't go down that road. But you know, at that point, even the disciples don't understand what Jesus is about to do. Humanity right then showed all its faults and spun into a destructive cycle once again until they crucified the Saviour and Creator of the world. But thankfully, God was not caught out unawares. There was no surprise for him. This was not a plan B. God had planned it all this way, and so that the depths of human sin could be dealt with and death itself could be overcome. Yes, death does still happen. However, there is hope for the life which comes after when we believe in Jesus. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, he went and he saw Lazarus' sisters, and he said these words, which is an old memory verse of ours, John 11:25. He said, altogether, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die." And so Jesus had proved that he had power over death when he brought Lazarus back to life again. And now God brings Jesus back to life again. And so here on Easter Sunday morning, we're able to celebrate the new life that is found in Jesus. And we need to look and we need to find that life. Jesus promises that if those who seek him will find him, those who bang on the door, he will open that door and show them the way, because he is the way, the truth and the life. We have an old memory verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Altogether, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We just pray together. Dear Lord God, we just want to thank you so much that you've given us your word through the Bible. You've told us how you act in the past and how you're going to act now and in the future. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for going to the cross at Calvary, that terribly painfully death that you bore to forgive us. But we thank you that we can celebrate the new life that you brought when you raised Jesus from the dead. And you've given us this new life too when we believe in you. So we thank you, Lord. Let it just fill our souls with praise and worship of you. We ask this now, Lord, in your name. Amen.